dismissed, this is where we see that the gospel starts to spread. Beyond Jerusalem to Samaria to the ends of the earth, just like Jesus said that it would. And so even in persecution, they had to trust the process. In verse 4, it says that those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. And so because they trusted the process, even through the persecution, they went out and preached the word. They didn't have pity, throw a pity party on themselves. They, oh, why does this happen to us? They said, okay, we're going to run, but as we run, we're going to let as many people know about the gospel as possible. So they preached the word wherever they went. That's the standard for us, right? We may not be being persecuted, but man, what if we just preached the word as we went? At our jobs, on our campuses, at our schools, right? Wherever we go, in our neighborhoods, at the gas station, at the grocery store, what if we just were like to just preach the word wherever we went? That's the standard. Who was Philip? Well, like Stephen, he was also, as Mike called him, one of the waiters that was taking care of the widows, make sure they all had their share to eat. He was a man full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. He was one of the first seven deacons, and we saw what happened to Stephen. And now we see another one, Philip, and we get to see how the Holy Spirit transforms this waiter into a powerful evangelist. So he goes down to Samaria, and these are the mixed people, a little Jew, a little Gentile, and people that the Jews really did not want to have anything to do with. And so he goes, he doesn't care, he just wants to get the gospel out. All he cared about was helping as many people know about Jesus as possible. And his ministry exploded. It says he brought great joy to that city. Man, I would love to say the path brings great joy to the city of Atlanta. What an incredible description there. Later on, it went on to say that all these people believed and were baptized, and even an A-list celebrity from that town, Simon the Sorcerer, he saw all these people getting baptized, and he said, I want to get baptized too. And so he became a disciple. Now, he struggled a little bit, but amen. I mean, we all struggle. But, I mean, Philip's ministry was on fire. He turned this whole city upside down. I mean, it was so hot that the apostles who had stayed in Jerusalem, Peter and John, they came up. They heard about what was going on back in Jerusalem. They're like, we got to go see what's happening. They go and visit. They start helping out. And here's the thing. When it was time for them to go, they actually imitated the faith of Philip. And so on their way back to Jerusalem, guess what they did? They started preaching in Samaritan towns as well. The apostles imitated the faith of this waiter who had his own deep conviction. Then this happens. We're going to continue to read here in Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. Please, you can follow along with me in your phone and your Bible, or just listen along in Acts chapter 8, verse 26. It says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And so he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. He was in charge of all the money. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. And so he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And this is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. For us, now we have chapters in the book of Isaiah. That's chapter 53. The eunuch, after he got done reading this, asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Is it himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. This is one of the reasons why we study the Bible with people. You may notice that we don't do the altar call here. You may notice that we don't just ask you to raise your hand to put your faith in Jesus. You may notice that we ask you to study the Bible. You may ask, well, what is that? Right? And so for us, that means that we want to meet you where you are in your journey with God, like this Ethiopian eunuch, and we want to help you really understand from the scriptures to make a faithful decision from the scriptures to follow Jesus for the rest of your life, not just for a few moments in your chair. All right? We want to help build your foundation so that wherever you go, you can be a disciple of Jesus. And the altar call may be a great place to start. Making that first may be a great place to start. But we want to help you go deeper. And for the Ethiopian eunuch, he said, right there in verse 36, he heard the good news. It says, as they traveled along the road, the desert road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me, of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. They found water in the desert. You talk about, well, what if I'm in the desert, there's no water, and I want to be baptized? You'll find water in the desert. Verse 39, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. And the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. You see, his faith wasn't tied to Philip. By this point, it was tied to Jesus. And so even though the guy who baptized him went away, he wasn't like, well, God, well, man, this guy just dropped me. You just took him. They don't even talk to me no more. He went away rejoicing. Like, I know Jesus. I'm good. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. I hope you see God in this story. This is such an incredible God story. You're talking about an angel shows up, right? And angels in the Old Testament, they would show up like regular people, right? Majestic beings. An angel shows up. He tells Philip to hit the road, get on this desert road. And so he goes, he meets another VIP type, right? I mean, he goes from Simon the Sorcerer, and now he finds this other very influential person, right? And it just so happens he's reading the scriptures. Man, we just like to show up, and they're already reading the scriptures, right? After sharing the good news, the eunuch offers himself to be baptized. Noah, you know how to convince him? He was just like, look, there's water. I mean, that's what we all dream about, right? Finding people that are so open. They're just like, look, I want to be baptized. Oh, and then that thing about water in the desert. And oh, again, about that thing about Philip being teleported to another town. I love God because he puts stuff in there like that. I love God because it's beyond what I can imagine. I don't know if y'all remember that show, Quantum Leap. Scott Bakula, I mean, he just quantum leaped to another place. It's amazing. I love this. And Philip, he didn't even have to worry about the young Christian. He just got to go keep on preaching. Man, must be nice. Don't got to worry about helping them through issues and the mess that they're making the first year and all the ways that Satan's trying to get him to go back in the world. He just, man, you know, some of us, we just love preaching the word. This is ideal, right? He's an evangelist. He just want to help as many people as possible to know the gospel. But none of this happens if Philip doesn't have the faith to go. The faith to trade a growing ministry for a desert road. There was no explanation in the beginning. There was no grand vision. There is no guarantee of greater success, just a command from the messenger of God. I remind you that the Bible says, it says, so he started out and on his way. He met an Ethiopian. You know, there are times God will call us out of a successful situation, an exciting situation, even a prosperous situation, right? To start traveling on a desert road. Those are the hard times. I mean, it's easy when times are rough. You want me to go somewhere else? Okay, I'll go. Man, you're having church issues, church drama. I think God's calling me to go to another church, right? God wants me to go plant another church. Yeah, it's time to move in a time of chaos. But in the moment when times are good, sometimes he'll call us not to a destination, but just to a journey. Just go on the road. Not to a finished product, but to a process. Will we have the faith to trust, obey, and go? I wonder what could be at the end of the sentence for us. Personally, as a family unit, as a group of friends maybe, even as a church. He started out and on his way. She started out. Put your name in there. And on her way, they started out and on their way. How will God finish this sentence in your life? Amen. We'll never know if we don't trust, obey, and go. Yeah. You know, as a church, we started out in 2019 with a new vision to create churches that mobilize the next generation. And on our way, we've seen close to 50 people be baptized. We've seen new leaders raised up. We've seen old dreams reignited. We've seen victories won, memories made, and opportunities realized on our way. And I believe there's still more adventures ahead if we will continue to walk by faith. Some of us will be called to go start a church here in Atlanta. Maybe another campus, another location, maybe beyond Atlanta. I'm not sure. But like Philip, some of us will be called to go in the midst of amazing miracles and answered prayers and incredible growth in the midst of you just helping somebody become a Christian. You may be called to go. I'll tell you right now, as you know, part of our vision, you know, is to find a facility, right? To find a new church home, a home that we can have access to 24/7, so we can do the ministry, so we can raise up leaders, so we can send people out, so we can meet the needs of the community, open it up to the community. We just want to have that type of impact, right? And God willing, as I've said, I'm praying we get to have a house warming party in 2020. Right? But some of us may be called to go on a mission team right after we move in. After you've given your money to the Vision Fund. After you help to decorate the walls. After you help to get the children's ministry going. Ooh. And Lord, we've been waiting for this building for how long? Our own place, and now you want me to go somewhere else? Not me, but some of us will feel called by God. How will you respond? I don't know how it's gonna happen, but I just want us to prepare our hearts now to respond to God's calling. Even in the midst of an incredible situation, even in the midst of incredible celebration, will we answer God's call and continue to walk in faith? Now, some of us, it may look different, right? Some of us, it may be, we may have a great job now and God is calling us to another job, maybe one that is more conducive with what we're trying to do to build God's kingdom, or he may be calling us to the full-time ministry. Lord, I got a great job. I got these great benefits. I've been working all my life to get to this place. Some of us, maybe we're being called to serve in a specific way or give a specific amount of money. Some of us may be called to take our romantic relationship to the next level. Brother, come on now. It's time to move forward with your life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, come on now. Maybe time to just come on. Hey, take that next step. Make that commitment. Some of us may be called to end a relationship that's not beneficial to our relationship with God. Will we have the faith to trust, obey, and go? I hope we do. You know, I think one of the reasons I look at Philip, I think one of the reasons that he had this faith in his heart was, and why he was so eager to go, I think he built a conviction that the Lord had already gone before him. Okay? And so he trusted God initially through the process of persecution when he arrived in Samaria. And he saw how God had prepared the people's hearts to respond to the gospel. He saw that, right? Somehow he was able to perform miracles. God gave him all that he needed to be able to reach the people there. Then he helped these people become disciples, the first Christian to help other Samaritans, to help Samaritans, to fulfill the words of Jesus in Acts 1, that they'll be witnesses to Samaria. He got to be that guy. And I think it was those type of experiences that led Philip to keep on going, not to stop. Along the way, he baptizes the first disciple who would take the gospel back to Africa, the motherland. And you know, I marvel because I marvel at the way uninformed people can say that Christianity is a white man's religion. Have you read the Bible? Please, let's get beyond YouTube conspiracies and read the Bible. Man, the gospel was in Africa before it ever came to the West, to the U.S. I mean, what is that? It's just ignorance. It's just being uninformed. I ain't gonna go. That's it. That's all I have for today. That's all I have. If we're gonna really trust the process, we gotta know, have a deep conviction that the Lord has gone before us. Amen. He's ahead of us in that process. All right? In 1985, there was a missionary named George Duncan. George Duncan. He went to Africa to preach the gospel. He felt called to preach to the Yao people, the Y-A-O, Yao people, who live mainly in Tanzania, Mozambique, and Malawi. And so he got there to this village, and he settled in. He requested a meeting with the elders, and as was the custom, they came together, exchanged pleasantries, and they asked him, "Sir, what is your name?" And he says, "Well, my name is Mr. Clarence." And so these elders looked at each other kind of perplexed, and they said, well, Mr. Clarence, why are you here?" "Well, I'm here to tell you about Jesus Christ, the Messiah. I want to tell you and your people about Jesus." So in that moment, they said, "All right." And they let him do his thing. And a few months later, by this time, Clarence had built some trust with the elders, and the chief of the village said, can we meet up? We need to have a discussion." I felt as if he could trust Clarence by this time. And he says, "Clarence, do you know why we allowed you to stay?" "Clarence, I never even thought about it. I just thought you guys wanted to hear about Jesus." His chief, named Abu, tells Clarence the story of what happened 21 years earlier and how a very old Yao man had came into their village and called a meeting with the elders, just as Mr. Clarence had. And when they asked this very old Yao man 21 years ago what his name was, he said, "Mr. Clarence." And they looked at each other and said, "This isn't even an African name. Like, where did you get this?" When they asked him why he came, that Mr. Clarence from 21 years ago said, "I want to tell your people about Jesus, the Messiah." And the chief told this Mr. Clarence, he said, "Those were your very words. 21 years ago, Mr. Clarence led 4 people in that village to Christ. And you know what we did to him? We ran them out of our village, and we killed Mr. Clarence. And the reason why we allowed you to stay was we were afraid. This was 1985. 4 years go by, and one January morning, 24 Muslim elders come, and they approach the home of Mr. Clarence. And they have a meal together, and they say, "We want to know more about Christianity." And so he says, "Okay." Mr. Clarence is like, "Hey, but I just want you to know, whatever questions you have, I want to answer them with the Bible, because I don't want you to think I invented this stuff." And so he gave them Bibles in their own language. And the first question that they had was, "Well, why does Christianity say there's three gods?" He says, "Well, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. It says, 'Listen, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one.'" The questioning continued till 5 in the afternoon, and finally, these 23 of the 24 elders left. Abu stayed and said, "Mr. Clarence, can we meet in about a week? I need to talk to you again." And so they did. And when they met, Abu asked if Clarence knew why they came to see him last week. Clarence once again was dumbfounded and was like, "I thought you guys just wanted to know about Christianity." But Abu said, "No. It was because the Christian church has been growing so fast that we knew we had to kill you. We had consulted for 3 days. We had set up our magic and prepared our magic. And what was supposed to happen was you were supposed to be dumbstruck when we asked you these questions. You were supposed to fall to the ground, be paralyzed, and then die. But when you kept talking and even standing up and showing us the scriptures, we realized that your spirit was greater than ours." Then Abu said, "Mr. Clarence, I'm ready to become a Christian." You see, God had already gone before Mr. Clarence 21 years earlier with another Mr. Clarence, right, who had gave his life to preach about Jesus and to help 4 villagers know Christ. God had already gone before him. And we can trust that God has gone before us. I'm going to say it again. If we really are going to be able to trust the process, we got to know that the Lord is ahead of us in the process. If we don't have a deep conviction on this, then when we step out in faith, then we're going to be worried and anxious and fearful because we're going into where no man has gone before. That may be true, but God has. I mean, God wants us to know this. I mean, if you look in the Old Testament, you realize that God led his people with a pillar of fire. When Moses was saying, "Hey, Joshua, now it's your turn to lead the people," you know what he told him? He said, "God, the Lord has gone ahead of you." That's what he told him. And then he said, "Listen, do not be dismayed. Do not be fearful." When we understand the Lord has gone before us, then that gives us courage and boldness that we can step out and go on this journey, on this process, without even knowing the destination. I mean, if you think about it, even the concept of becoming a Christian, even that concept, a Christian is simply a disciple. It's another word for a disciple, a follower of Jesus. You get that? A follower of Jesus. It's not for us to lead the way. We're simply following Jesus. That's all we're called to do. He's going ahead of us. He continues to go ahead of us. Even as we talk about the Holy Spirit, once Jesus ascended, keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. If anybody is struggling with what it means to follow Jesus, I think we can look at the Ethiopian eunuch for some inspiration. Amen. What we know about eunuchs in the general sense, they were people who decided to emasculate themselves, to cut off their genitalia, so they were not able to have physical intimacy, they were not able to reproduce or have a family. And Jesus actually talks about eunuchs. He says this. He says that there are eunuchs who were born that way. There are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by others. And there are those who choose to live like eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of God. This Ethiopian eunuch was most likely made a eunuch in order to serve in the fashion that he was serving in, to be that high up in royalty to serve the queen. That was a protective measure so the brother would not struggle. And so most likely he made that sacrifice as he was seeking this powerful position, and maybe, just maybe, it was a sacrifice that he regretted. Maybe that power that he was seeking did not fulfill him the way he thought that it would. And so he goes on this journey to find something that would fulfill him. Experts say this eunuch may have traveled 1,500 miles by boat and by chariot, by land. It would have taken several weeks to get there with this simple desire, just to go to the temple, sacrifice, worship God. This would have taken a ton of money, because he wouldn't have went by himself. He would have had an entourage with him, and so he would have to provide for them as well. And just maybe once he got there, he may have been a little disappointed in what he found. Because when he got there, he may have realized for the first time that eunuchs are not allowed to enter the temple. According to Jewish law, they are not able to come in and make a sacrifice. And on top of that, he was a foreigner. And then at the same time, the disciples are being persecuted. At one time, they were meeting every day in the temple courts, preaching the word. At this time, they were probably in hiding, and so he may have missed out even on the teachings of Jesus. And I think he went home sad. But before he went home, he said, I need to go ahead and get me a book of these holy writings. And somehow he got the book of Isaiah the prophet, a book that would have taken scribes over a year to write. This would have cost him a small fortune at that time. And so he invested in order to get to know this God more. And even when he got this book, he still couldn't figure out who or what the prophet was talking about. Man. But God. Can you say that with me? But God. Woo! One more time. But God. But God had gone before him, church. God had gone before him. He was working out a plan to make sure that he would be able to hear and understand the gospel, to understand the good news of Jesus Christ, that even for him, though he was rejected at Jerusalem, he wouldn't be rejected by Jesus. God's plan involved this waiter who would be transformed into an evangelist. That was God's plan. That would go on and leave a successful ministry to go on this desert road without knowing what was going to happen. This waiter who would obey not only an angel of the Lord, but also the Holy Spirit. And he would run at the opportunity to preach the word to this eunuch who was desperately seeking God. As he hears the good news, the eunuch just turns himself in, as we talked about earlier. Obviously, this was part of the good news that in baptism he can have a new life and his sins forgiven and participate in the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus, and he can have the Holy Spirit. And you see his eagerness. He's ready. He's been waiting. He's been traveling. He's been spending money to find this God. And he finally gets the opportunity. Brothers and sisters, this is the God we serve. This is the God we serve, the God who goes before us. And if you're seeking him today, I hope that your eyes are open. If not, I want to encourage you to open your eyes. Look around to see what God has already done in your life to get you to this place right now. Do you know how many things had to happen? The course of action, the serendipity, I mean, for this person to meet you, for this person to be in your path, all that they had to go through, how they became a disciple, and the person who made them a disciple became a disciple. Open your eyes, that it's God who's calling you. It's not me, it's not these people. It's God who's made a way, who's gone before you so you can get this opportunity to be right before him. He knows your heart, he knows you've been seeking. I hope and pray you will choose to follow. And if you need any further inspiration, I'll close with this. When Philip found this eunuch, he was reading Isaiah 53, right? A few chapters later, he would come across a message that would change his life forever. In Isaiah chapter 56, a little bit ahead of 53, in verse 3, it says this: "Don't let foreigners who commit themselves to the Lord say, 'The Lord will never let me be part of his people.' And don't let the eunuch say, 'I'm a dried up tree with no children and no future.' For this is what the Lord says: I will bless those eunuchs who keep my Sabbath days holy and who choose to do what pleases me and commit their lives to me. I will give them within the walls of my house a memorial and a name far greater than the sons and daughters could give. For the name I give them is an everlasting one. It will never disappear." This was a message for this man who was both a foreigner and a eunuch. God had gone before him so that he would know that he wanted to bless people like him who would commit their lives to him. And he goes from being kept outside of the temple to having an everlasting name within the house of the Lord. Just imagine what this eunuch felt as he read this message. I wonder if maybe even Philip led him there. Maybe he started where he was in 53 and led him to 56. But now I know why he went on his way rejoicing. Because the life he once envisioned was now completely different, filled with hope, filled with a future, and filled with a purpose to go back and teach about this Jesus to everybody he knew. Oh, and as for Philip, in Acts 21, verse 8, we learn about a certain man who came to visit Philip while he was in Caesarea. A certain man at this time, his name was Paul. His name used to be Saul. He was the one who was the ringleader of the Christian persecution that kicked off this series of events in the first place. And now this Saul was staying in the home of Philip the evangelist. Church, may we just trust the process. God has a plan. Let us just start out and see what happens along the way. Let's pray. Father, we are humbled by your wisdom, your plan, and your purposes. Father, we see you. God, we see you. We see you. Thank you for showing yourself to us. Thank you for showing us the great lengths that you're willing to go for the one. Just the one. All that you're willing to work out. Things that may feel good, things that may feel bad, persecution and blessings just for the one, for me, for us. That you're willing to move mountains, that you're willing to make a way and clear the paths and do whatever you have to do to help us know about your son, Jesus. We see the extent of your love in the cross that we celebrate right now, in his death and his burial and his resurrection. Father, we see you. We see you, that you go before us to give us an opportunity to be right with you. Father, we pray that we will step out in faith with this deep conviction within our hearts, knowing that whatever sacrifices you're calling us to make, that there is a purpose, there is a plan. And though we may not see it now, we may see it 21 years later, 25 years later, we know, God, that you are in control. We love you, Father. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.